All right, take your Bibles, turn to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter 1. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Again, Jonah chapter number 1. Father, bless this morning. Lord, thank you for these folks that are here. What a blessing to be in church. Lord, a time that we're able to enjoy ourselves and gather around the Word of God, a time we're able to just have a time of fun and fellowship and after the service also. But Lord, thank you for the scriptures and for the Bible that you've given us, how it's quick, alive, how it's full of truth, how it's inexhaustible. And Lord, this morning, again, we're going to look at a book that I've read many a times. And Lord, again, just something new and something fresh. So just meet with us. Give us, Lord, your spirit. Give us what we need from the scriptures, from the message, and from the truth. Bless now, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Look at Jonah chapter 1. In Jonah chapter 1, verse number 1, if you're there, say amen. Notice that the Bible says, now the word, by the way, let me ask you a question. You don't have to answer it. I don't want you to answer it. I'm going to want you to wait till after, towards the end before you answer. But I want you to think about it throughout the service. But the question is this. The question is, who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast Jonah into the sea? Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness has come up before me. Again, obviously that city was wicked, and they were doing perverse things and so forth, and just a terrible place. Jonah did not want to go there. Look at verse number 3. But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it, to go with him unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Then the mariners were afraid, and cried every man unto his God, and cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea, to lighten it of them. But Jonah was gone down into the sides of the ship, and he lay and was fast asleep. So the shipmaster came to him and said unto him, what meanest thou, O sleeper? Arise, call unto thy God, if so be that God will think upon us, that we perish not. And they said, every one to his fellow, come and let us cast lots, that we may know for whose cause this evil is upon us. So they cast lots, and the lot fell upon Jonah. Then said they unto him, tell us, we pray thee, for whose cause this evil is upon us? What is thine occupation, and whence comest thou? What is thy country, and of what people art thou? And he said unto them, I am a Hebrew, and I fear the Lord, the God of heaven, which hath made the sea and the dry land. Then were the men exceedingly afraid, and said unto him, why hast thou done this? For the men knew that he fled from the presence of the Lord, because he had told them. Then said they unto him, what shall we do unto thee, that the sea may be calm unto us? For the sea wrought and was tempestuous. Notice what he said in verse 12. And he said unto them, take me up and cast me forth into the sea. So shall the sea be calm unto you. For I know that for my sake this great tempest is upon you. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to bring it to the land, but they could not. For the sea wrought and was tempestuous against them. Wherefore they cried unto the Lord and said, we beseech thee, O Lord, we beseech thee, let us not perish for this man's life, and lay not upon us innocent blood. For thou, O Lord, hast done as it pleased thee. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and 3 nights. And look at verse number 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly. What an amazing story. Of course, Rock, I'm going to go ahead and turn this on. If you can turn. What an amazing story we have here. And of Jonah, of course, turn me down just the hair monitors. And Jonah, of course, every child knows the story of Jonah. But we find here, Rock, turn me down more on the monitors. And we find here the story of Jonah. And again, all the children have, man, you have heard the story of Jonah. You've the song of Jonah.
And what an incredible story. And I couldn't help, I think I've told you this story before, but we were at the ocean, and I was swimming. I was, you know, a shirt and some Bermuda. You ought to see me in Bermuda shorts. I am cute. Not really. But I was out there in the ocean. I walked, I think it was maybe the end of low tide or something. But I was out there and I was far out. And I said, you know what, let me tread water for a little bit. I usually don't get to do this. Let me tread water for a little bit. By the way, I'm not a great swimmer. I've got locomotion. That means I can get from one point to another. And So I picked up my feet, and I was touching, and I picked up my feet, and I kept my feet up, and I was just treading water, you know, doing the figure eight. And I did that for, a few minutes, 5-10 minutes. I'm, you know, just like back in the Army times. And I did that for a while, and then, you know, I said, well, you know what, let me just go ahead and get back, and I straightened my legs out to try to touch, and I couldn't touch. And now I really had to tread water for real. And so I said, well, it's probably just a few, I pushed myself down to try to touch it, and I couldn't find the ground. Of course, and everybody's out on the shore, and I said, wow, I'm deeper than I thought. I said, well, no problem, let me just go ahead and swim, and let me get closer to the shore. And I started to swim. And I stopped, and I tried to reach down, and I was still a far way. And then I began to, panic. Well, I'm so glad we had that message on fear this morning in Sunday school. And I began to panic, and I'm saying, I can't. I started to swim harder, and I couldn't. I started waving at my wife and saying, you know, hey, and she's waving back at me. All of a sudden, here comes Andrin, it's one of these, these floating things, and he's paddling, he's swimming up there. And I said, Andrew, go back, go back. Andrew, go back. Do you remember that? Go back. Of course, he's just smiling, and he's just kicking. And I'm really, it's bad enough I fear for my life. I don't want to fear for his life, too. And I'm waving his back, and I start, because I see him coming, so I say, I need to get to him, because he's going to keep coming, and I'm not going to be able to help him. So I swim harder, and I wouldn't get anywhere. That current had taken me out, and I couldn't get anywhere close, and he kept coming. And my legs were cramping, and I was, I'm thinking, boy, this is great. I'm going to drown right here in front of everybody, and blah, blah, blah. And make a long story short, he finally made it. I got on that board with him. I think it was a boogie board or something. And we got out of Dodge. And all I could think of was, you know, I can't touch, and I'm barely able to keep my head above the water, and trying to, you know, you start panicking and you start rushing, and you're, I mean, I was scared to death, and I'll be honest with you, it would have been easy. I don't think that I'll do that again for a while, but it'll be easy to drown. And all I could think of was Jonah. You know, they took Jonah, they threw him in the ocean, and all that, he's treading water, the storm is raging, and waves are coming in, the wind is blowing, rain, thunder, lightning. And I'm thinking, wow, you know, and what's Jonah doing? He's trying to keep his head above water. He's trying to survive, and he's in the water. And then as he's treading water there, all of a sudden he hears this. Dun. 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 Dun, 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 dun. And here comes this great big fish and just swallows him up. And I mean, he's swallowed up by a whale, and I'm thinking, you know, boy, it got from bad to worse. But I thought about this, but here's the question. You know, who cast Jonah into the sea? Who cast Jonah into the sea? And before you answer, you know, maybe we ought to ask somebody like Job. Job, who cast Jonah into the sea? The Bible says that Job was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Job was one of the best men of that time, if not the best. And one day, Job was taken and cast into the sea, into the midst of the sea. And Job was like this. Job was trying to keep his head above water. Job was treading water, and he was drowning, much like Jonah was, much like I was. And Job lost his wealth, he lost his cattle, he lost his sheep, his camel, he lost his servant, he lost his children, 10 of them. And all of a sudden, Job found himself drowning in the middle of an ocean of sorrow, in the middle of an ocean of distress, a sea of pain and hurt. He was drowning in despair. And if that's not enough, he soon after finds out that he's been smitten with sore boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head. He scrapes the pain and the pus, and he scrapes it off with broken pieces of pots. And his wife comes to him and gives him counsel, saying, "Well, why don't you just curse God and die?" His friends come to visit him, and they find him. They do well for a while until they open their mouth and start accusing Job. Job finds himself drowning in the sea of despair and sorrow. No one around, no one to help. And he looks to God and he's nowhere to be found. He's drowning in a sea of hurt and sorrow and pain. And Job, pray tell me, who cast Jonah into the sea? Job knows who it was. Maybe we ought to ask somebody like Joseph. Joseph was a great man. The Bible says that the Lord was with Joseph. You know, I can't find any evil thing written about Joseph. The Lord was with him. But instead, Job was taken, and, his brothers were jealous, and they wanted to kill him, and his brothers took him, and they cast him into a pit to let him die there. His brothers then had a change of plans when they saw some travelers going to Egypt and brought him out and sold him to the travelers to Egypt as a slave. And Joseph was taken to Egypt, sold to Potiphar's guard as a slave, as somebody to work for him. And you know the story. He was wrongly accused later on by Potiphar's wife, only to be cast into prison again. And Joseph is found in the midst of a sea of pain and struggle, thrown in a pit to die, sold by his brother, sold as a slave in Egypt. Now he's in prison for something he didn't do. And Joseph finds himself in the midst of the sea just doing this. Just treading water, doing a figure eight. However you do it, like this, yeah. And trying to keep his head above water. In Egypt, the Lord was with Joseph and he blessed him. And then he's thrown into prison by false accusations. And Joseph, once again, is found in the middle of this ocean of distress and pain and struggle and sorrow. Hey, Joseph, let me ask you, who cast Jonah into the sea? Joseph knows. Joseph knows, Joseph was a man that could interpret dreams and thus he was promoted to second in the country, second only to Pharaoh. And while the world around him suffered famine, Joseph had brought prosperity to Egypt because of the interpretation of the dream. And then people came all over into Egypt to buy food and corn, and lo and behold, all of a sudden Joseph's brothers show up. And he recognizes them, and he sees who they are. And unbeknown to them, they stand before Joseph to buy corn. Joseph deals with them. Long story short, the time came when Joseph could not contain himself anymore. He's been dealing with his brothers, asking about his father and so forth. And he comes before them, and he finally reveals himself to his brother. Take your Bibles, go to Genesis 45. Genesis 45. Joseph, who had been thrown into the pit. Joseph, who had been sold as a slave. Joseph, who had been taken to Egypt and sold to Potiphar's household. He's doing well, and all of a sudden he's falsely accused by Potiphar's wife, and then thrown into prison again. Thrown into this sea of pain and struggle and hardship and hurt. The Lord is with him. He promotes him, and all of a sudden he's second in command, and his brothers come to him. Dealing and wanting to buy food and corn, and he kept quiet for a while, but after a while he's got to reveal himself to his brothers. Look at chapter 45, look at verse number 1. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all of them that stood by him, and he cried, these were his brothers, "Cause every man to go out from me," and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. Can you imagine you being one of those brothers and trying to to leave your brother for dead in a pit, or taking him out and selling him to some travelers and selling him as a slave. And you imagine all, and all of a sudden you come and you find out that he is second in command, second in power in Egypt. Look at verse number 2. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Notice, doth my father yet live? And his brethren, notice, his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. Man, they were saying, I can't believe this is Joseph. I can't believe where he is and what he is and the power that he has. Verse 4, and Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye what? What's the next word? Whom ye sold in Egypt. He says, man, I am he whom you have sold in Egypt. Look at verse number 5. Now therefore be not grieved, notice, nor angry with yourself, that ye what? Sold me hither. For God did, what's the next word? Send me before you to preserve life. There, his brothers are not believing this. I mean, they are scared to death. And they're thinking, boy, Joseph is going to seek revenge, and he's going to get us. He's going to sentence us to death. Or look at verse number 7. He continues and he says, and God, what's the next word? Sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by great deliverance. So now it was not, what's the next word? You that sent me hither, but what? God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh and lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Joseph explained, and they says, listen, it wasn't you that sent me here. It wasn't you that cast me in the midst of this sea that you cast me in. No, it was God that sent me here. Their father dies, and Joseph's brothers once again are terrified because now dad's not around. Their father's dead, and Joseph, you know, they think Joseph will certainly kill us. Look at Genesis chapter 50. Genesis chapter 50, look at verse number 15. Notice that the Bible says, and when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was what? Dead. They said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which you did unto him. When dad was alive, you know, he spared us because of dad. He spared us because of our dad, but now that dad is dead, Joseph is going to seek revenge and he's going to kill us. Look at verse number 19. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive. Now therefore fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. Joseph told them, hey, you know what? You, brothers, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good. Joseph, let me ask you a question, Joseph. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Joseph knew the answer, you see. For when he was found in the midst of the sea, drowning in pain and drowning in trouble and drowning in sorrow and drowning in... he knew who it was that had cast him there. Now let me ask you the question again. Who cast Jonah into the sea? Go back to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. Look at chapter 1. Go to verse 15. Jonah chapter 1 verse 15. So they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from a raging. Then the man feared the Lord exceedingly, and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord, and made vows. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. From that observation, it would be clear, and it would be easily seen that it was the mariners that took Jonah and cast him into the sea. But notice Jonah's testimony. Look at Jonah chapter 2, look at verse 1. Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried, verse number two, by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. And out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou hearest my voice. For thou hast what? Cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and thy waves passed over me. Jonah, when he went to the Lord and when he prayed, he said, Lord, I realize that it was you that cast me into the deep. Did you see that? Verse 3. For thou hast cast me into the deep sea. Boy, that is interesting. That is interesting. See, here's what I want you to see, that God wanted to use Jonah in a great way, and God wanted to use Joseph in a great way. And before God used them, he had to cast them in the midst of the sea. In the midst of the sea. There had to be some sea casting. It would have been easy for Jonah to blame the mariners. It would have been easy for Joseph to blame his brothers and said, hey, they cast me into the pit. They sold me as a slave. They were the reason that I was thrown into prison. It could have been easily for them to blame others and throw it on others. And that's the reason that I've been thrown into the midst of the sea. That's why I've had to tread water and try to stay alive. But he didn't come to that conclusion. His conclusion was right on the money. He said, God did send me before you. It was not you that sent me, but God. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And if we could learn those lessons, if we could just get that truth, man, you know, it'd be a wonderful thing. Because we need to understand that we too must be cast into the sea. We too must have some sea casting experience where we have to tread water, we have to try to keep our heads above water, and we try to stay alive. And you know, we'll face some of those times that we're out at sea and no help around. Somebody does us wrong, or friends hurt us, or families forsake us, or we face some health issues, financial struggles maybe, and we have faced some difficult times. And you know, our church has faced some difficult times these last few years. People have tried to do us harm, and friends have turned their backs on us, and we need to realize who done did that. That's not good English, but that's good preaching. Who done did that? Who did that to us? Who cast us into the sea? If we could realize who really it was that did it, we'd get so much further down the line. This Friday will be our 1-year anniversary since my mom went home to be with the Lord. It's been a very difficult time for all of us. It's been a difficult time for Dad. Mom and Dad flew into Virginia late Tuesday night, which would have been March the 30th, and days before, they'd been packing boxes, they'd been prepared to move, and I drove up that morning. I drove up their car up from Miami and saw them that next day, saw them Wednesday morning. They got here late Sunday or Tuesday night, and I got in Wednesday morning, and I saw them, and that afternoon, I even picked up the kids from their house, from the parsonage here, to take them to church. That was the last time that I spoke to Mom, the last time I saw her conscious. That Wednesday night after the preaching had started, I remember I was up the pulpit, and I remember I saw Dad coming into the auditoriums in the back in pajamas, and I'm thinking, boy, there's something's wrong, and he pulled Brother Ruck and got him out of the auditorium. And I figured, well, Mom must have fallen, or maybe she had broken her arm or broken her wrist, or something had gone wrong. I sent Debbie out and the help. I sent James Wright, who was here at the time, who spoke some Spanish. I sent him out in case they needed some translation. I continued to preach. I figured there wasn't much that I could do then. I remember Brother James returned and handed me and put a note on the pulpit, and as I was preaching, and I got the note and I read it, and the note said, you know, your mom has fallen and she's unconscious. And they took her to the hospital that Wednesday night, and right after the service, I packed up and I went straight to the hospital, and I got there, and I still couldn't see her. And she spent that night in the hospital. Long story short, she died the next day, Thursday, around 7. I've got a picture of her on my desk with her Bible that she used. And, you know, many times I've thought about her death. She fell coming up the basement stairs and fell backwards. And Dad found her on her back lying on the basement and must have gone downstairs and on the climb back up, she fell backwards. I always thought, you know, if I could have only done more, if I could have done better, or, you know, it was because of me that they moved up here. It was because of me that I got them into the parsonage. If they would have stayed in Miami, you know, this would certainly not have happened. I remember doing a walkthrough with Brother Rook, and I remember telling him, hey, we need to put some railings on these stairs because they're steep and they're bad, this is not a good situation. And, they were difficult to walk down and difficult to walk up. And I said, a railing, we've got to get one up. You know, that railing never was put up. I never followed up on it. If I would have followed up on it, if I would have put the railing on the stairs, or none of this may have happened. And I remember telling her that when that morning, I said, hey, you got nothing in the basement. You don't need to go to the basement for anything. There's nothing downstairs. To this day, we don't know why she went downstairs. Now, Dad lives alone, who was married for 50 years, and you know what he's doing? He's doing this. All of a sudden, Dad's been cast into the midst of a sea, and he's treading water, and he's trying to keep his head above water, and it's been a year, and the question is, hey, who cast us into the sea? Who threw us into the sea? I'll tell you who it was. It was God. And it was God that cast you into the sea, and if you ever find yourself in the midst of the sea, treading water and trying to keep your head above water, swimming for your life, it was God. It was God that cast Job into the midst of the sea of sorrow. It was God that allowed Joseph to be thrown into the pit to die by his brothers, and then taken up only to be sold as a slave, and then only to be thrown in prison unjustly. And those things that you and I have gone through, those things that are that we have passed through, that we have treaded water, are really for our own good. You say, people have done me wrong, preacher. They've done me wrong. You don't know what they've done, and they've hurt me, and they've turned their backs on me. Understand. Falsely accused me. Falsely condemned me. The loss of a loved one. Jonah said, you know what? It was God that cast me into the midst of the sea, even though the mariners took him and threw him into the ocean. Joseph said, hey, it wasn't you that sent me here. It was God that sent me here. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And see, when we get to see things through those eyes, that nothing ever happens, that God doesn't allow it to happen, or that God's not in control of happening. Some of you maybe have lost loved ones likewise, or maybe lost a job, or financial struggles, or difficulties, and you look at the extreme ocean that you have been cast into, and the problem that you face, and the problem that our church has faced the last 2 years. Hey, how did we get here? I'll tell you how we got here. God. It wasn't the mariners that cast him into the sea. They didn't want to do it. The Bible says they tried to row harder and harder. And you know what? It wasn't the pastor that did that to you. And it wasn't your friend that hurt you. And it's not your friend that turned their backs on you. It wasn't your boss that fired you. When you find yourself in the midst of the sea, and you ask yourself, how did I get here? I'll tell you how. God, because God has a purpose for it. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Corinthians quickly, and we'll be done. 2 Corinthians. Jonah found himself in the midst of the sea. And he could have easily blamed the mariners, but he realized who it was that had cast him into the sea. When he went to God, he said, it's you, Lord. He said, thou hast cast me into the deep, into the midst of the sea. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Preacher, I find myself in the midst of the sea. Troubled sea, treading water, trying to keep my head above water. How do I get out? The same way you got in. How do I get out, God? It's God that will pull you out. It's God that has a plan for you. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Look at verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. For we which live are always delivered under the death of Jesus for Jesus' sake. Notice, for Jesus' sake, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our mortal flesh. So then death worketh in us, but life in you. We, having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore I have spoken. We also believe, and therefore speak. Look at verse 14. Knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, and shall present us with you. Look at verse 15. For all things are for what? Your sakes. For all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Verse 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Hey, who cast Jonah into the sea, into the midst of the sea? I'll tell you what, it was God. Who cast Joseph into the pit? Who cast him into prison? I'll tell you what, it was God. You know, I often think, boy, if I would have done things different, if I would have just done things different, if I would have not moved him here, I would have not brought them here. Things would have been different. Many times I've thought of that. But the bottom line, it was God. It was God that brought him here. It was God that moved them there. It was God that did what he had to do. For all things are for your sakes. And you know what? If you were to ask Jonah who cast you into the sea, he told you it was God. God has a reason and God has a purpose. This morning we looked at the who cast you into the sea. Tonight we'll look at the why. Why was Jonah cast into the sea? God has a plan. God has a purpose. And we just need to submit to it. Father, I pray that you bless this morning. Lord, help us to realize that you've got a far greater picture for us than we do. You have far greater plans for us. You have far greater purpose for us than we can even begin to imagine. And there are times that you've got that we've got to have some of this mid-sea casting experience where we're thrown into the ocean and where we tread water, where we try to keep our heads above water because you have a purpose. Help us this morning to realize that all that we go through, that all that we face, that all that we encounter, Lord, is on purpose and that you have a purpose for us. Lord, there's one here this morning that's not saved. There's one here that's never trusted Christ. Lord, may they come to that time this morning. Please, Lord, work an invitation.